Good morning.
Good morning.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my iniquities unto Thee. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I will praise you with an upright heart.
When I learn your just and righteous decrees,
blessed are those whose way is blameless,
who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep his testimony. You have commanded your precepts
to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast
in keeping your statutes. Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
I will praise you with an upright heart.
When I learn your just and righteous decrees, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord,
thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations.
Exalt him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Hallelujah, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their disease. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Christ is risen. Alleluia. What? What kind of Easter people are y'all being? And don't tell me it's not Easter, because every Sunday is a little Easter. Now, Christ is risen. Alleluia. My. I'll have to work on that, because Lent's coming and then Easter. All right. The resurrection of Christ. Something's going on in Corinth. You know, Corinth was a cosmopolitan kind of place. You had all kinds of different religions that were worshipped there in terms of the Greek gods. And you had different opinions even with those who were in the church at Corinth about certain things. And apparently somewhere, someone got the notion in his head that there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, that might have fit in perhaps with some old religion they may have worshipped. It might have even fit in for some Christians who had trouble with the whole idea of a bodily resurrection. Indeed, the church would face that more in the future as it grew and spread, and there were those who were known as Gnostics, and they believed the body was bad, the soul was good, and the thing of life is to finally reach that point where the soul and the body are separated, and the soul goes to be in heaven, and the body just, well, it just turns to dust, and that's it. But St. Paul sees that this is a problem indeed, we would say, because such a belief is not Christian. I mean, consider this. In our creeds, both the Apostles and the Nicene Creed, we confess the resurrection of the dead. That's been one of the chief tenets since Christ was raised from the dead. And St. Paul brings the attention of the Corinthian Christians to that fact. Because when he talks to them, he says, you know, you need to kind of remember what I told you before and how you held to that and you stood firm in it. And so he goes on to explain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. Starting right out there, speaking gospel straight to them about what took place. Now, these things they all might could agree to. They could even agree to Jesus being raised from the dead, but not the rest of us. That's not going to happen for us. Jesus, that was different. It was important that He be raised. But that resurrection of the dead, that's something we're having difficulty with. Now, Jewish converts wouldn't have such a problem with that. Most of the Jewish converts believed in the resurrection of the dead before they became Christians. They believed that one day God would come and He would raise everyone up. The Pharisees believed that. The Sadducees didn't believe that, though. So there was even kind of dispute going on among the Jews. But this isn't a foreign idea in Christianity. This is one of the chief tenets of our faith. And it's important that we remember what God has given us. Even in the sacrament of the altar, we are reminded to do this in memory of Christ and His suffering and death for us. But it also reminds us of His resurrection, because God is still able to distribute to all Christians the body and blood of His Son that was sacrificed on the cross, because Christ reigns victorious and sits at the right hand of God. which doesn't place God in a locality that he can't move from, that is Christ our Lord and Savior, our brother and our God. He is able to come and be with us at all times. Where two or more are gathered, I am there in the midst of you. Those who love me, I will come and make my home in you, the Father and I. He promises to be in the sacrament. How could he do that if he weren't raised from the dead? But again, that's not so much disputed by these who are kind of doubting the resurrection of the dead, all people. But Paul says that just doesn't make sense, because we do know that Christ was raised from the dead because there are witnesses. Well, we can even go to that and say, well, you know, we believe because of the words of the apostles, because of what was written down, because of God's Word and the Holy Spirit working through that Word, we can say, yes, we believe. It's not a blind faith. We believe in the stories of eyewitnesses to the very events. And St. Paul says that first he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, by the way, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and most of whom are still alive. So check it out if you don't believe my word. Check on one of them or one of the apostles. They're still alive. Though some have fallen asleep, he goes on to say. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who had a hard time believing too initially about Jesus being even the Messiah. It is said that he doubted that. He didn't believe it. He knew Jesus since he was born. Well, since James was born, he knew Jesus. Don't want to confuse the two. Jesus is the firstborn. So there we are, the firstborn of Mary. And James, who sees Jesus raised, changes his life. He becomes the first leader of the church in Jerusalem. Or we might say the first bishop of Jerusalem, perhaps, or the first district president. So last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Even St. Paul can say, look, I saw him too. I was there. Not at that tomb, not at those places. But he reminds them that he did appear to him and for a different reason. At the time, we know he was the enemy of the church as Saul. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. That is how faith is created in the hearts of people, through the preaching of this good news. Without the resurrection of Christ from the dead, there is no good news to be preached. There is nothing that we have to stand on that makes Christianity any better than any other religion. Therefore, Christianity would be reduced down to a philosophy of good works, a philosophy of getting along with one another and loving one another, and end of story. Just do your best you can as you go through life. Even more tragic is this. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. How tragic that would be, wouldn't it? I'm sure there are times people doubt in the church. Sometimes people look and they say, look at all the other faiths. Look at those who are Muslim. Look at those who are Hindu, look at these other religions. How do we know Christianity is the right way? Or some will say, well, they all teach the same good message, and it will all, in the end, lead to the same place. But yet, all the religions contradict one another. None of them would agree with that idea. Only those who don't know what they're talking about seem to agree with that idea. But it is a fiction. It is nothing that is based in the actual tenets of these different religions. But what makes Christianity different? Well, there are the eyewitnesses who were with Jesus and saw him after he died and was raised to life. But all the founders, we would say, I guess, of the other religions lie dead in their tombs, or at least their relics, or what of that person is left in this day and age. Who knows? Maybe just ashes, maybe just dust. One could even say that about the apostles. You could go to Rome, for instance, and go to St. Paul's Cathedral, Basilica, and there you could see the little case where the bones of St. Paul are, and the chain that was around his wrist when they led him out beyond the walls of Rome to chop his head off. You can see the tomb of David. But you can even see the tomb of Jesus, but it is empty and has been that way since that first Easter morning. That's the difference. People that flock to see the tomb of Jesus don't go there to see the body of Jesus. They go there to see the wonderful good news that he is risen. He has gone ahead of the disciples. Go tell them. There were many people that saw him in the days before he ascended into heaven. But this would even be more tragic, I think St. Paul would say. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is vain, for we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Could anyone imagine St. Paul speaking falsehood about Christ? We know the kind of life that Paul lived from the time of his conversion because it's written down for us in places like the book of Acts. We hear it in the letters from St. Paul. We know about his suffering for the faith. He wasn't doing it for any kind of financial gain. He wasn't doing it for fame, nor did the other apostles. They weren't sitting around one day thinking to themselves, hey, let's create a new religion, as though they didn't have one that they already believed in and worshiped, because they were not men who did not believe. They were, many of them, waiting for that day that Christ would come. They didn't dream that up, because all their lives became lives that were filled with suffering. They all died in some horrific way except for John. They died of old age, but Christ kind of indicated that would be the case. But St. Paul suffered much to take that news out and was told to leave towns, and yet he would persist. He always had it in his heart to go to Spain, and no one knows whether or not he really made it there. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, we don't know. But we do know that he continued to go out into the world and boldly confess before kings. He had the right to even go before Caesar as a Roman citizen. God placed him where God needed him to be, and many were converted in Rome and in Corinth and in other places. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Again, our religion would be no different than any others. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Here it is. St. Paul brings it all together. But the truth is, the fact is, now I've told you about witnesses he could go and say, but he said the fact is, Christ has been raised. And the last part is the most important part of his whole argument. And that is, he is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. He is the guarantee. He is that first fruit. Behind him will come all the dead. They will be raised up on that last day, as we confess in our creeds. And we too will stand with the apostles, with all these eyewitnesses that have given their testimony down through the ages, through the written word. We have thankfully a Lord who is not dead but is alive, with the promise that he will come and bring us all back with him, that he will raise us all up. The apostles confess to this truth, and they speak it boldly, because it is there our faith rests. A lot of times we may confuse people in our talk, but we don't necessarily mean it to be that way. You know, some phrases like St. Paul saying some have fallen asleep. Well, he's not using a euphemism. He's just saying, well, the body's laid to the ground, but we know where the soul is. The soul is with Christ. And sometimes, and maybe this was a problem too for the Corinthians, we think only of that and we forget about the second promise of Christ saying, I will come back and gather you together from all the corners of the earth, all mine, all of mine. And he will raise us up. And our hope is in that in the long term, because in his resurrection, he won the victory. And because he is victorious, we are victorious in him as well. And the promise is we will reign with him in heaven and earth, the new earth. So praise be to God, and thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this true knowledge testified by your eyewitnesses. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name, who is raised from the dead. Jesus is risen. Alleluia. All right, let's rise. Heavenly Father, your kingdom has been made manifest in the preaching of miracles of Jesus Christ. Gather together your multitude from every Gentile nation and from Judea's remnant, that many may know wisdom come in our flesh. Lord, in your mercy, grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast to the word that has been preached to them and not believe it in vain. Lord, in your mercy, preserve the family and all godly Christian homes. Give parents diligence and persistence in their duties to teach the faith in word and example. Keep all children in the promise you made to them in their baptism. Let the patience, kindness, and endurance of Christian love have no end among us. Lord, in your mercy. O God, do not let our rewards and blessings consist in the treasures and goods of this world. Give us joy in every sorrow, knowing that if we have you, we lack nothing and will receive an eternal reward in Christ that cannot fail. Lord, in your mercy. Be near to those who are troubled by any unclean spirit, memory, or thought, and to the sick and all who need your healing. Especially we lift up Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Edward Russell, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, and Robert and Donna Knopf. Send forth your power in the name of Christ Jesus, that they would hear your word and be cured. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all who trust in you and come to eat the holy body and precious blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins in the blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son is risen from the dead and has promised that he will only be the first fruits from among those who sleep. Preserve us in Christ Jesus with hope beyond this life. Comfort those who mourn with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, and let us live in confident expectation. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and right, so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, ever praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy
kingdom. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in joy and peace. Amen.
Thank you.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. Go ahead, Max.
Hi, everybody. Join us at your church. We're having a Super Bowl Sunday party. Remind you that our Advent service will be at 7 p.m. on March the 2nd. Our midweek Lenten services will be at noon on March the 9th through April the 6th. And then our council meeting is April the 3rd. Monday, Thursday, April 14th at 7 p.m., Good Friday, April 15th at 7 p.m., and then our next congregational meeting will be April the 24th. Also want to remind anybody that has not picked up their tithing statements, they're in the basket in the narthex. And say happy birthday to David Bison Sr., whose birthday is February 16th, and Allie Gonzalez, whose birthday is February 19th.
We just want to report that the packing play is in the nursery. It arrived this week.
Anybody tired of the
corn? That's right. So anyway, the packing
because the spiders have taken him, and they're going to overcome themselves. Anyway, we do need to start thinking about that and talking about it sometime in the year, like April or so.
Okay. Anything else? All right, go in peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.